Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
All right, here we go. Usually we record on Sunday and it's Saturday, so I don't have all my bile. usually tonight's the night it all coagulates so I can throw it at you.
Right, because you're not doing six sets. You're like, again, another Saturday goes by without 4 to 6 sets. And
or any, I don't have a set at all tonight. I feel like I'm at three Zoomers a week or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's brutal. It's tomorrow's Sunday show.
Yeah.
There's one more tiny work in if you want it.
I'll take it. I honestly just do teeny tiny sets on your show because I just want to do new stuff or new tweaks or whatever.
Yeah. All right. It's Funches and Laura House. And you want the other half of that set, Kyle?
Let's do that.
All right. Let me write it down.
I was literally like, I don't know. I have Jackie and Laurie tomorrow and then realized we're doing this.
Right. And so it's Ron Funches and Matt Kirshen and Laura House and Augie Smith. And now you two doing shorties. And then another guy doing a shorty who's just a guy I don't know well. I just know him from the internet. His name is Teal Pierce.
Mm-hmm. I know that name.
Yeah. He's supportive. He's a supporter.
I love that we're promoting a show that will have already passed.
Right. And it's like a half a dozen comics, but you know what? It's literally those Sunday services shows. I'm working on them and I have a new date for my album.
Oh, tell me about it.
It's in March. It's okay. At Acme. We'll
Yay.
See.
Okay.
Yeah. And
it's something to work for and you know,
not this week though. This week I'm just going to work on another 20-minute, 30-minute chunk but have fun. Like get to watch all the comics I want to watch. I did a weird show New Year's Eve with Matt Kirshen, Laura House, and Augie Smith that was in something called Spatial.
Yeah.
It wasn't in Zoom. It's an app. Okay, and it was essentially like a bird's eye top down view of a club.
Yeah.
And there was a mic stand, a little image of a mic stand, and then everybody's little tiny avatar circles were everywhere and you could move your circle. So I stood next to Laura House for a long time. It was that in the weird room. And then when you were up, you would move your tiny avatar by the mic stand and then hit the megaphone thing on the app, and then you would be broadcast to everybody in the room. Otherwise it was just laughs. You could just hear laughs.
So was this app made only for stand-up comedy?
It isn't. I don't know. It was a party app. So like at one point
everything's always adapted. There's no, could somebody do it? There's a thousand comedians in the US. Please, somebody make us an app. One of you that's just for stand-up that won't also work for work meetings.
Right. Or just some sort of, because it was like a karaoke app. Ugh. And it reminded me of when karaoke mics are used for stand-up. It's a terrible idea.
We always get sloppy seconds. We always get every other performance art form sloppy
seconds. I might as well be standing at a podium doing stand-up.
I know. Or a music mic stand that's bent in half.
Oh, and bent ones. Awful. For the fucking guitars.
Yeah.
Assholes. Anyway.
Why do other art forms even exist when we're here? That's what
I think. Kilmartin found her bile.
many a one-nighter in the Northwest was followed by karaoke with the audience that had just been there. Now stepping foot on the stage, which was my sacred place just 20 minutes ago, and now you're on it, you fucking piece of shit. Go home. Buy my merch and go home.
All right. Well, here's my did I ever tell you about the Westward Ho in Grand Forks, North Dakota that had a gig?
Yeah.
Okay. You know that gig that they had where, and I desperately wanted it in the 90s. You got to work there for 6 months.
Yes.
And host every night, but you also had to host karaoke every night. And then you got all you got was room and board. And then you could work in their shitty Westward Ho diner for extra money if you wanted. And Chad Daniels and Isaac Witte, yeah, and Sean.
Shannon.
Shannon, who got in the motorcycle accident. They all did it. All left with serious heavy drinking problems.
Sure.
And because you were in Grand Forks, North Dakota it was a year.
Yeah, and I thought it was like the worst apprenticeship ever. Horrific.
Right. And they all came back.
What was Shannon's last name? Doherty?
I don't know. What?
Doherty? I thought it was like a D.
Yeah, it was Shannon Doherty. Nice work. Wait, no, that Shannon Doherty is a famous.
Oh wait, she's on 90210. What? Yeah. No wonder Shannon started drinking. I get it now. It has nothing to do with North Forks.
Yeah, I think he ended up moving to Texas or Oklahoma or something. Isaac Witte moved back to be with his fundamentalist parents in Oklahoma, and Chad Daniels.
Is it Oklahoma? Isaac Witte is.
Yeah, he grew up in Tulsa, I think.
I thought he moved back to Minneapolis, but then he moved again.
Right. He was a Minneapolis comic. He moved to New York. He moved to LA. He moved back to Minneapolis. And now I believe he has gone back to the church.
Wow.
Great comic though. For as long as it lasted.
Great joke writer. Really
great
funny.
Joke writer. Mm-hmm. And, wow. and a drinky drinkerson. That dude. But that's the thing about the hoe is that the hoe, the karaoke would kill you. And yeah. I desperately wanted that gig so bad because I was like, you get to do stand up 7 nights a week, at least 10 minutes a night.
Yeah.
And I remember Chad and I, all those guys would come back just dragging their tails between their legs going, you don't want it. You don't want it. And I was like, I do want it. And they're like, do you see this puffy alcohol ridden face? And I was like, and the 45 minutes that you got out of it, the tight 45. And they're like,
about drinking,
about drinking and tumbleweeds.
But isn't that how all of us talk to people that want to try comedy? We're just like, no, you don't want it. You don't want it.
You saw that email I got today from somebody who did stand up for about 7 minutes.
Oh, that stand up. You know what? It permanently disturbed your brain.
She had listened to an episode of The Dork Forest and she was like, I want to do a Dork Forest about the time I did stand up for like 6 years. I mean, she was in it for a while, but then the email went on way too long. It was a 1200 word email and right. You emailed me back and you're like, why wouldn't you want to interview this woman for an hour? And I was like,
I think I said, why wouldn't you want to interview an insane person? But thanks for
that. Is exactly how you did said it. And I thought to myself, how can you be both needy and entitled?
You mean her or me?
all of us.
But what if she's telling the truth? What if we're you know what? Who knows who's the soothsayer, the sage right now? I don't know.
Hey, I did a Brussels show that was 11 a.m. LA time. Did that guy ping you? Because
he did, and we're gonna it's gonna good. Happen. I'm excited. Good.
And then there's another guy in the Northeast, Northwest that had a show. And these were shows that people were like, you don't want to do it. There's not a lot of money in it. And I was like, you know, I do a lot of stand-up in LA.
Yeah.
I'm used to making $11 and change on a good day.
And a meal. So, yeah. Is the audience European? Basically.
Yeah, they're almost all European. The other comics were European, and it was lightly attended, but it was perfectly fine and lovely.
That's great.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I'm laying the groundwork for my move to Europe after my son graduates from high school around Europe for at least a year doing stand-up.
Yeah, Aaron Crouch, who did a guestie last weekend, it might have been last weekend, at the Sunday Services show, she turned me on to this guy, and she knows a bunch of European shows, she said. So
cool. I super just want fun. To meet the Tom Rhodes lifestyle for a year.
Okay.
Yeah. And I can't do it while I have a kid who depends on me, but as soon as he doesn't, I'm free.
Right, right. And how psyched would he be to just go with you too?
That's not part of my plan, Jackie.
Right.
That's part of that. I'm free, don't you understand?
Right, right. It's here's my current dilemma. The end of this month, now that it is January 2021, I'm supposed to be at the Portland Helium. In 3 weeks.
Oh.
Would you, anybody got an over under on that one?
Well, I assume they'll keep doing the show.
I don't know, because Oregon, I think just there was an article yesterday sent to me about Oregon shutting down. So
really?
Yeah, I don't know if Portland.
That we comedians have to track state health departments to see if we can do our gig. I'm not, because I'm done. But I mean, it's really weird. Incredible.
I have two neighbors right now having Petri dish parties.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
Boo.
Yeah.
Yep. I guess I did like your analogy to the student loan debt joke. That was very funny.
Yes. I said my mom died of COVID before the vaccines. So I don't want anyone else's mom to get a vaccine. Just kidding. I just wanted to see what it's like to be one of those. I paid off my student loan, so you shouldn't have yours canceled.
Yay. That's just
my mom's death in liberal causes, as she would have not liked.
Right. Yeah. And I would say that if people want to come to the Sunday shows, they need to join my email list, which is so easy to get off of every, just when you get bored, if you're done, I don't care, but join if you want to be, to find out when what time, because they change. Like tomorrow's is 2 p.m. Last week was noon. I was thinking it was going to have to be at like 8 p.m. because I was supposed to game all day tomorrow, but there's no game. So, pardon?
Tomorrow's is 2?
Yeah, tomorrow's 2 p.m. Pacific. So I try to do it kind of midday because it works for almost everybody but like Hong Kong, Vietnam, and 2 p.m. is okay for Melbourne because I have some fans in Australia. That's 9 a.m. Who doesn't want to see some stand-up at 9 a.m. in Melbourne? And but just JackieKaysha.com, just sign up for the email list unless you are already on the Patreon, because then you get it.
Is it 9 a.m. the previous day?
It's 9 a.m. the next day, Monday morning.
So it's Monday morning in Melbourne when we're doing...
Tomorrow's, yeah.
Wow. I didn't, I'm actually completely unaware of which side of the clock Australia is on behind.
Time is inexorable. It continues to march. And then Monday night, we're doing a show. We're doing a flapper show.
We forgot to promote it last week. I was so dumb. We have a massive, crazy killer lineup.
Tonight. It'll be the night that this shows. So everybody should totally buy tickets now for flappers who could use the money. We split it with all the comics.
Yes.
First.
Are now guaranteed $50 on our show.
Yeah. Which is not a lot, but it's
more if other people show up. I mean, last time we had Maria and Melissa Villasenor, so we have an SNL star and Maria Bamford, and we had a massive amount of money and everyone got like
200 bucks.
Over 200 bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And tomorrow's it's Cameron Esposito, Bonnie McFarlane, Deborah DiGiovanni, Kenise Mobley, and you and I.
Yeah.
Am I saying Kenise's name right? She's a comic of the week, right?
Yes.
I said it right.
Comic of the week, yeah.
Yeah. She's very funny.
Yeah.
I liked, she had a good boob joke. I liked her boob joke, if I remember. She's a mother. You know, she had some sort of, it was great.
Oh, yeah. I always love boob humor from women with boobs. I don't want to hear it from guys or women without boobs.
Unless you got a good, unless you got a good boob joke about your own boobs and you don't have big boobs. Yeah. That's good times right there.
Yeah.
And guys, you got boobs, you got boob jokes. That's all you as well. I'm on board. Do whatever you need.
Right. Well, you're a lot more generous than I am.
Well, I think that's been established over the last
time. We all have to draw a line in the
sand. So, other than that, why didn't you, I saw you in the chat room of Funch's vision board.
I watched it. Well, first of all, I haven't done a vision board before. I didn't have the products that you need. I don't have
glue any stick.
Magazines. I don't have a glue stick. I don't have the little art collage, fucking shit that you need. I've become so inarticulate. I just say shit when I mean, there are words for what I'm talking about, but
right.
They're gone. They're just gone. They don't
exist. Well, the magazine thing is ridiculous because what I ended up doing was I ended up just printing things.
Yeah, but it's all black and white. It's not that inspiring looking.
No, no, it wasn't black and white. Mine's in color. But what I did was
a printer.
Yeah, it was $35. But what I also have is I have Photoshop. So I put them all, it took like probably 4 hours to, and which is good though, because then I thought about the things cause I wanted to do sort of travel stuff. And, and I wanted to talk about travel, because what I liked about Ron Funch's vision board party, a couple of things I liked about it. It was a vision board party.
Oh, yeah. Explain what it is before we go.
It was, and then he just pushed it to Twitch. Right. And because his Twitch channel is on fire. So,
I feel like you and Ron have really successfully figured out how to maintain /increase your careers during this time in a way that most comics haven't.
Yeah, I think the ones that already had fancier careers are doing fine.
Yeah,
like Glazer and Eliza and
yeah
yeah. So
no, I mean, yeah, I mean, how you both of you are like you with your Sunday services. That's like a huge thing that's growing. And Ron with, his new, was he doing his podcast before?
Getting Better?
Yeah.
He was doing Getting Better, but it wasn't, I don't think it was video. Much like Dork Forest wasn't video, because I think now it's just video.
Right.
On so Instagram.
I feel like you guys really figured out how to keep yourselves present in comedy, even though there is no comedy.
That's great. Yeah, good. And so, but the, so what he did was what, but I guess he's just usually just has a party. He has like a vision. He invites people over to the house. He's got glue sticks for everyone.
Oh.
And they all sit around and make, they make their vision boards and chat and probably get stoned and listen to some nice music. And, not even probably, I'm sure they pretty, yeah. Anyway, so
sorry, I sneezed, but that wasn't because I was still very interested.
I didn't know if you were reacting to me saying they probably got stoned.
No, that doesn't, that sentence wouldn't make me sneeze, Jackie. It would make no one sneeze.
I didn't see you sneezing.
Okay.
Do you know why? Because you're polite and you went off screen, off Zoom.
Yes, I sneezed on my neighbor.
Yeah. So, but what he did was, so what he sent us, all a Spotify, list to listen to off, in our own, we could all sync listen to this Spotify list using, an app called Jukebox. And, but you needed a premium Spotify account. And I don't know about you, about my musical tastes, they don't inspire, a Spotify premium account.
Whatever is on the radio is.
There's no radio. I'm just listening to the same 30 CDs that.
I was one of those connoisseurs that fucking knows everything, but I'm not. I don't know who's singing what. I don't know.
Gary Lucy, Kyle. Kyle, I'm sure has music.
Kyle, yes. Mark Maron. Those guys, they know they know different versions of songs. I mean,
right.
It seems like useless knowledge to me, but God bless you, Kyle, and all who are interested.
It's sort of like a hug we never got.
Jen Kirkman made a really nice New Year's Eve mix that I also, a Spotify list that I favorited. Oh. Oddly enough, it has some jazz on it. And here's what I like when trumpets are involved, when there's music that is written. I don't like a lot of freestyle jazz. I feel like I'm listening to Andy Kaufman riff and it makes me want to cut myself. So, but I do like big band music and I like marching band music.
Okay.
And I like, Yes, but I like it when there's music.
Okay, but go back to Ron's thing.
But okay. Ron's was a lot of funk and hip hop and stuff like that. And that, so that was super fun. You could just listen to his Spotify list normal, but I couldn't listen to it simultaneously because of jukebox.
Right.
And, but it was me and then, he, but he, so he usually has this party. So what he did online was a party. And what's great about talking about your vision board, because what he did is he calls it a business plan. He's like, you can call it a vision board. It is a vision board, but it's also a business plan.
Yeah.
It's how you want to see your career go, how your family goes, how your health goes, how your sort of spirituality and health, mental wellness, you know, those are sort of the four quadrants of a vision board.
Yeah.
And so listening to everybody sort of talk about it and then sort of present their vision board. Did you stick it out to hear everybody's?
I watched some and then I had, but it was 3 hours long. I did have yoga scheduled in the middle. So I did that. And then I went back and kind of watched a little bit silently, you know, it was really interesting. People were super vague and then super specific and, all over the place. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. There was a wrestling guy. The wrestling guy had just signed some huge deal that he couldn't tell us about because of an NDA, but he put it in the chat but it was a DM. It was a DM.
Okay.
And so I didn't get to find out what it was and I wouldn't have known what it was.
Yeah.
But there were some younger comics who had stuff. And then we were talking about, at one point, my favorite thing, as I mentioned, because one of the younger comics was talking about moving to LA maybe. And I mentioned that it took me so long to figure out how much money there was in Los Angeles, that there's just bushes with a bag of money behind it. And you just have to find out who's standing casually in front of that bush, that because there's so much money in Los Angeles that you don't even know.
Right.
And Ron literally interrupts me to go, and he's listening. Hi, Ron. And Ron, he literally goes, it took you 15 years to figure out. And I said, you realized he could see it from the plane. Like when he moved here, he saw how, and he had work right away. He hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And it was so like some people have that vision, you know, that they can see. I mean, they, you know, he's incredibly talented and really smart, but there's also that you have to have this sort of, you know, there's a couple of different things that there's so many different ways to do it, obviously. But I mean, one of the ways is if you can see that angle, you can see in.
I guess so. I mean, to those of us or people that don't have that like supernatural vision, it's really frustrating to hear that there's money behind a bush. I'm like, well, I'm looking at 15 bushes and I don't see any money. I just see.
But think about Ian. The same thing happened to Ian Abramson when he moved here from Portland. He had two jobs before he landed. And it was
I had a job when I got here, but that was why I came here. It wasn't, you know, I didn't get a job while I was in the air.
I believe he got a job in the air.
Wow. Well, it's not like that for everybody, but I do.
No, it is totally not.
Or actually most people.
It's not like that for, it was not like that for me. It still isn't.
Right.
Right. But I got a job this year that had that giant bag of money there. And you're just like, where the hell has this job been?
Yeah. Right.
Right. So those jobs, I guess, they're scattered all over. They're like weird. It's like panning for gold to some extent, which is why, you know, so many people move here and look for and think it's like that because it can be like that. But it's only like that for a very small percentage. And it's an interesting perspective. If you have that perspective, that's it, you know, it's like being able to play the piano. It's like it's a talent, you know. Actually, playing the piano actually takes practice, and you can learn to do that.
Doesn't getting money give you that perspective? It's not. I don't know. It just seems like once you get a help up out of, you know, off the ground floor onto the first floor, then you're like, oh, there's more floors. But
that
if you're on the ground floor, just because you can't see all the way up doesn't mean
Right. And if you're, and to take this weird analogy even further,
it's a terrible analogy, and you could start a new one if you wanted to, I'm sorry.
But all I've got is this one is just that, is the thing is I am on no floor, right? I'm on no floor. I come and all I've got is talent and hard work, right? Mm-hmm. Which are real things and valid. And whenever, and there's tens of thousands of people in Los Angeles like that all the time. So you kind of have to pull yourself up onto that first floor so you can see those other floors. And that takes time for me because I just couldn't see it. And there's people that are born on third floor or third base.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And those assholes, no. But some of them are very talented as well. So whatever.
Yeah, and sure. Talent finds itself into every family, and then some families can afford to nurture it, and others can't. And right. So that those talents have to work all that much harder to even overcome the psychological, you know, barriers of why would you even try to do that for a living when you know there's no money, whatever.
Which brings us back to vision boards, where you have it focuses your attention of a business plan. It focuses your attention of a health or mental health plan.
Yeah.
It focuses your attention of who you want to spend time with and what you want to spend time doing. And so, like, I have a lot of VO stuff up on the thing because I want to do more audiobooks and more more voiceover stuff. And I supposedly this week. I have two lines on Bob's Burgers.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That show is great. It's going to be around forever. You will always have a credit that little kids would, like the next generation is going to understand. Maybe that's the thing you'll be known for a generation, you know, Z or something like that.
Well, you know, and it's so funny because it's, you know, Lorraine Newman has done so much VO work over the last 40 years, right? That's been a big portion of her career.
Wow.
Is to do a lot of cartoon stuff. And, and so that's work you can do in your pajamas, supposedly, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can, and well into, you know,
do you remember what was this? It was she and Gilda Radner were little girls and they had the uncle who was Buck Henry, who was a child molester. Do you remember those sketches?
No.
Was it just one? Oh my God. They're hilarious.
On and it's SNL? Like,
yeah, there's no fucking way it'd get on the air now. Oh my God. Where like since they're playing little girls, like, you know, sometimes their skirt goes up and their underwear shows and you're like, because you see, you know, the uncle. Oh my God. I got to watch it again. I don't know why.
But, I got to find out what the hell that even. Where was the humor? What was it? Was it just
how horrific it was? I haven't watched it in a long time. I got to watch it again. But you know, sometimes you just some comedy, you're like, what the fuck? And you're hoping it doesn't end in a disaster. And,
right.
You know,
yeah.
What's on your vision board that you could talk about?
Well, I mean, I just, you know, the big thing that was on that was career wise, like I have a row of career stuff, mm-hmm. wanting to do more writing and get published. And I wanted, you know, and this is stuff I've been talking about for years. And Ron was talking about how you move something from an old vision board to a new vision board if it has not yet been manifested. But let's say you got the toaster oven, right? Let's say it happened. You know, you put a toaster oven on your vision board. You end up getting a toaster oven. You take that right off. That opens up a spot right there. And then, you know, it was kind of a nice, fun thing for me to do too, was I did a collage of like a bunch of my family members that I really want to see.
Yeah.
And I just want to see everybody again, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that'd be nice. And then I took a screenshot of a Delta One cabin, which is the super first class of Delta.
Is that like international flights?
Yeah, kind of, except for that some of the, and so you got your own little pod.
Yes. And,
who doesn't love a pod when flying? Even though I think about flying and I'm like, you know, cause I was also thinking about like, there are things that happened this year that were beautiful, you know, that I've never spent 9 months at home with Andy, you know, that never would have happened.
Right.
And this, you know, this time to slow down is good. You know, the fact that it lasts another year is a lot, but you know.
Yeah. I definitely feel like for my son, it's been, the not being at school was offset by seeing his parents a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Right. I mean, he had both of you for almost the whole year.
Yeah.
A good 6 months.
And I'm still every night. He's got me every night. You know, I'm not dashing out, darting out. I'll be right back. I'll be back. You know?
Right.
Yeah, it's weird. I got a record player for Christmas.
I saw that.
And, so
did
I had
records.
I have some of my parents' old records.
Oh, okay.
And, one of them was, Edie Gourmet singing with a Puerto Rican band. You know, there was a time in the '70s where that some of these records are so the '70s, it was so fun to listen to. I don't know that I'd listen again, but it was a great like reminder of being in a certain room with my family. And also my mom at the time was throwing dinner parties, or we were going to dinner parties, like with the other engineers that had
settled
in the Bay. Fondue. Yes.
Fondue.
Settled in the Bay Area. And it was all just sort of like.
Not ironically, for reals.
Oh yeah. It was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. So that's cool. And then a lot of classical and two volumes, one and two of Victory at Sea, which I guess is music inspired by World War II battles in the Pacific. I'm not sure. That would be my dad paying homage to his brother.
All right.
Yeah. And then I was thinking like, you know, for my future right now, I don't know what's happening after June, right? Because our show is going off the air. Conan's going to HBO. I don't know if I'll be going with him. Like, you know, I would love to, but who knows?
You can't count on it. So you have to think.
Yes. Yeah. And so I've had the story idea for a while and I've been like, all right, I'll make it into a spec. Right. So I have my spec to give people and spec. But it's tricky. It's tricky. And I was like, how would this work in a half hour? How would it work? And then Bruce, my manager, I had met with a couple book agents in one or two in New York right before the pandemic. Right. And then everything was happening and, you know, everyone went on high alert and stuff and then my mom, et cetera. So anyway, I'm going to reconnect with one of them. And I was thinking, well, maybe it's a novel and maybe it's something else. So I've been sort of just writing all these ideas out in different angles of it. And I'm going to talk to him this week coming up about, you know, what do you think? Is this a novel? What's next? Do I write the whole thing first or do I write a couple of chapters and you take it out and see if anyone's interested? And I've never written a novel before. So am I going to need a strong editor to guide me or what, you know? I don't know.
Well, Tess Rafferty wrote that Under the Tuscan Gun.
Oh yeah.
And she wrote it as a spec, but she optioned it a couple of times, I think before it was sold, before it was completed.
Wait, she wrote it as a novel and it was, wait.
Let me say that again. She optioned it a couple of times before it was finished as a novel.
So she optioned it as a series a couple times before. Oh, interesting.
So you should talk to Rafferty because she might know.
Okay.
Hey, let's do a quick break for Max Fun.
Hey, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin. Together, we're The Flophouse,
a podcast where we watch a bad movie and then talk about it.
Movies like Space Hobos, Into the Outer Reaches of the Unknown and the Things That We Don't Know, the movie, and also Who's That Grandma?
Zazzle Zippers, Breakdown 2, and Backhanded Compliment.
Elvis is a Policeman.
Baby Crocodile and the Happy Twins.
Leftover Potatoes?
Station Wagon 3.
Herbie Goes to Hell.
New episodes available every other Saturday.
Available at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bye. Bye.
And also do Comic of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
Comic of the Week, you guys. Hosting for Tammy Joe a bunch of times. That's when I saw her.
Yeah, me too. At the asphalt, at the Magic Castle asphalt shows.
Right. Kenalia
Stradwick. And she's very funny. And her Twitter handle is K-E-N-N-E-L-I-A, Kenalia. Yeah. She got in there early.
Yeah.
Got her first name, a solo name Twitter handle. Good for her.
Kenalia, do it. Find her. Get her some work. Because it turns out she's funny.
Yeah. And it's one of the few people I've seen live for the first time since March, you know. Everyone else I'm sort of just seeing on Zoom, which isn't the best place to see anybody, really. You still get a feel for people, but you know, it's you want to see people in front of a crowd or a crowd of cars. But
that show in Brussels, there was an Indian woman who lives in Germany.
Yeah.
There was a Mexican guy in Mexico, comic. There was a Finnish comic who lived, I think, in Brussels.
Yeah.
And then two Americans, one living in Germany, one living in Brussels.
Oh, man. I can't wait for that to be me.
It's going to be you. It's going to be awesome. I also did. So how were your New Year's Eve shows?
I had one. It was a lot of fun. I did Sammy Obeid's KO Comedy. I've done that a couple times. He had a special New Year's show. Mike Kaplan was on. He was very funny. Maggie May was on. Very funny and looking gorgeous. She dressed up for the show. She had on like this green low-cut dress. It looked like silk from my point of view. Anyway, she looked great and was hilarious. And a lot of fun comics. And it was a fun night for what it was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I did, Adam Grotman hosted a thing and it was with Eric Passaggia and a couple other comics whose names I'm spacing. So sorry. But that was super fun. And then I went over to do that, the Matt Kirshen one in the spatial, the weird new app. Mm-hmm. So that was good. I liked, I've been working, I actually have a couple new premises that I might try to work in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, I watched, I'm actually 6 of 8 into Bridgerton.
Oh, I watched the whole thing.
Did you finish it?
I did.
So funny, because I've read those books. I've read a lot of Julia Quinn, quite honestly.
Here we go with I've read the books. Okay, Jackie, take it away.
When you say that with romance novels, nobody is impressed. Everyone's just like, oh, you had $7? Yes, I had $7. And, but Julia Quinn is actually, she's pretty funny. And those might be the best of them, though I do like there's another series. I mean, if Shonda Rhimes, first of all, Shonda Rhimes doing this thing was amazing. She fucking nailed it. Mm-hmm. I thought she nailed the hot hilarity that is a romance novel. Mm-hmm. Because these people are far too good looking. And they're all very, very handsome. And the woman who plays Daphne looks like she's about 14.
That was disturbing, honestly.
It was super disturbing.
She never looked old enough to have sex with the Duke of Hastings.
Right. The Duke of Hastings looked 30 and is 30, and she is 25. The actress.
The actresses?
So, wow. Yes. So there's the good news.
No crimes were committed.
Right. And it's so funny because Andy, who is not, and the story of Bridgerton is the story of almost every historical romance novel ever written.
Okay.
Women's lives are not their own. The best you can do is hope that the guy who buys you.
Yeah.
Falls in love with you and isn't going to micromanage your life.
Right.
Or isn't a monster. Those are your two hopes. And every single romance novel is sort of that version, which is why they're so incredibly, not feminist, but feminist. Because these are books that have, for the last 50 years, or probably more than that, I would say 100 years, since I think you get higher.
Let me, because I'm reading Pride and Prejudice to my son, and as you know, I have to explain every paragraph after I read it, like what's really happening. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you can argue that that's maybe the first romance novel, because it's showing you these women, all of their lives depend on who they marry. And if the younger sisters act up, the older sisters are going to get fucked. And, you know, Charlotte Lucas marries Collins, who's like, just annoying garbage just because she needs a safe place to land.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, and so I'm constantly explaining to him, this is the only power women have at that point in time is who they can get to marry them. And this is
quite honestly. And so Andy's watching this going, what a horrible time period.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, yeah, these are these people's lives and know this, these are the cream of the crop.
Right. These are the wealthy women who have multiple dresses. Yes.
Yeah. These are the richest women in town. Yes. So, but Andy was genuinely creeped out by how young she looked. But in the book, Daphne Bridgerton is also 21. So she has had, this is her second season and somebody died, but normally these women would go into society when they were like 16 or 17 and be married by they were 18. If they weren't married by the time they were 21, they were old. And I'll tell you, in the books, Eloise is a fucking pill, man. Anyway, so
that makes sense. Do you know my like several great, great, great grandmas back had twins at age 12.
Holy shit.
Awful.
I remember there was a woman named Bonnie that I went to junior high with who got pregnant. She played the clarinet. Father played the trumpet. There was a band scandal. Band scandal. Both 14. Band scandal. They sent Bonnie away to have the baby and give it up. 14.
Oh my God.
Yeah, remember. Oh, it would have been 1979.
Oh no. 14.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And Steve, who was the father, he just kept going to junior high, it turned out, and still played the trumpet. She came back, played the clarinet again. They didn't talk much, though. Those two kids didn't end up they didn't end up rehooking up.
Do you see her? Like, do you ever go to class reunions or anything?
I went to the class reunion. I don't know what happened to either of them.
I think we had one teen pregnancy at Carondelet, and she may have kept the baby, if I remember, in my class.
Okay. Like, all right. That's
maybe
interesting.
15 or 16.
Right.
Ashley Ray, a former comic of the week who did one of our shows, she has a Substack and she reviews, she intensely reviews television shows. Like Kyle loves music, right? So she's all in on Bridgerton, but she had it. And I'm paraphrasing. It's not as funny as the way she wrote it, but it was basically talking about how it was the Duchess's search for answers about jizz, like the last three episodes.
Right. Right. It's so funny because, Lorraine Newman, then on Twitter, speaking of Lorraine Newman, she was like, mm-hmm. Hey, I've never read a romance novel. What romance novel should I read? And I was like, so I just emailed her and I was like, if you really liked the Bridgerton novels, you could read her other, there's a quartet of novels that Shonda, what I'm saying, what I was going to say about Shonda Rhimes is that and remember last week I said some jackass thing about them whitewashing the past or, you know, saying that there wasn't racism.
Right.
Forgetting, and I knew this, but I couldn't remember it, that there were people of color in the British aristocracy because everybody's been falling in love with everybody regardless of skin tone for the last 60,000 years. And so there were some people of color in British aristocracy.
The queen, right, right, right.
And well, and in lower orders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also the other and more important thing is representation fucking matters. You know, you ever read a romance novel and you're not a white cis girl, right? Mm-hmm. You have to find the 9 books that are written for black people, for brown people, for gay and trans. That's why Ripped Bodice is so popular and interesting. But so Shonda Rhimes did an amazing thing, you know, with the diversity of this cast. And I thought that that was outstanding. But here's what I would like Shonda Rhimes to do. 2 things. 1, Julia Quinn has a short series about the Smith-Smythe family.
Yeah.
And it's hyphenated, and the Smith-Smythes are known for their musical soirees, and no one is good. They're all and so all of these people have to go to these musical evenings where people are terrible. And some of the Smith-Smythes know that they're not good, and some of them don't. And they all fall in love with other people, and it's dumb. But it is amazing. So that's a Julia Quinn series I would recommend. And then, so Lorraine Newman, though, I was like, you should read the Sinster series, C-Y-N-S-T-E-R, by Stephanie.
Oh, my God.
Which is essentially the Bridgerton series.
Right.
But with 7 other dudes, and they're a little bit of mystery in them. So you could put them on Hallmark Mysteries. I'm going to turn the lights on. I'm super.
Yeah. Dark. I mean, I was very dark. And now that I'm so light, you have escaped. But there you are.
I'm going to be. Here I am.
Yes.
So anyway, but that's, so Bridgerton is, it's craptastic. I love it.
Yeah. I needed a break from something called Dark. Have you seen or heard of Dark on Netflix?
No.
Have I talked about it?
But okay. Before you tell me about it, let's take a second break.
Oh man, this will hook people. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Joe Firestone.
And I'm Manolo Moreno.
And we host After Game Show, a podcast where listeners submit games and we play them regardless of quality with a dozen listeners from around the world.
We've had folks call in from as far as Sweden, South Africa, and the Philippines.
Here's an example. This is a game we called Zooey Deschanel, where you turn a celebrity's name into an animal pun. You have an example, Manolo?
Brad Gorilla Pit.
Oh, that's a pun on Gorilla Pit?
Yep.
I don't know.
That's Brad Pitt.
Oh, okay.
That's a high-quality game that you could expect.
Dr. Game Show has new episodes every other Wednesday on Maximum Fun.
Check us out, please.
Okay, so Dark is a German series on Netflix. Oh, it's and everyone's hair is awful. It's like across the board. It's not brushed. It's a terrible cuts. It's they're not trying it. It's small town Germany. And did I ever tell you about that movie? I watched it again recently called, I think it's called White Ribbon, The White Ribbon, where it takes place in pre-World War I Germany, and there's just like tons of child abuse and I'm sure it happens everywhere, but I think it was like fucking hard in Germany and how that sort of patriarchy led to, you know, Nazism, et cetera. So if this feels like the same town, but, you know, 70 years later, and it turns out it's a time travel show and, lives keep repeating and deaths keep it's that thing of, well, if you go back to kill baby Hitler, oh, guess what? Somebody else pops up and kills 7 million Jews this time. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Or whatever it is, but it's really hard to follow. Cause there's like 3 or 4 versions of several characters. And sometimes they exist,
they're always 25 in different lifetimes, and sometimes they're way older, and you're like, wait, who the fuck are you? And they're German. They all sort of kind of have the same look, you know? And so it's really hard to follow. And apparently there's a website that helps you track. And I was like, I don't know how much work I can do. Like I was, you know, I kind of like to tweet while I watch TV, but you can't miss a fucking thing. So I watched like maybe 1.5 seasons and I took a break, but I might go back to it just because, I need to know how it ends, because there's like so many loose ends right now. And the more they tie a few together, then they unload 7 more that make no sense. And so now they're haunting me. So I need to know about them.
Okay. I have to say that, so I recorded today a spoiler episode about Wonder Woman for the Dork Forest, which, and I was talking to my buddy Lee about Wonder Woman. And I said, well, was she in Batman versus Superman or Justice League? And he goes, she was in both. And I said, and those weren't supposed to be very good movies. And he goes, they were a mess, but there were some good scenes in both of them. And I just realized that both of them are on HBO Max. And I just wish you could scrub. I just wish you could fast forward through to find the good scenes, because I want to see the Gal Gadot scenes for sure. And I might start watching. Nah, I'm not gonna. There was some talk of me watching DC the TV shows, but I don't think I can do it. They're usually so dark. Though the Harley Quinn cartoon is dark, it's super super funny. I don't know if you've seen any of that.
No, but I did watch Salt, Acid, Fat, Heat. I started it so long ago, and then you brought it up again, Kyle, and I watched it again. And,
Yay.
You know, I mean,
I watch it kind of over and over again. I will put that.
She's so optimistic and happy about food, and
it's beautifully shot.
Yes, and one thing I hate is thin people eating a lot on TV, because I'm like, that's. I don't know how this is manifesting, and are you vomiting after the take? But I like it because she's probably a 14, kind
she's
of normal.
A normal-sized woman.
Yeah.
And I will say this is, I had that was my, one of my biggest problems in the third season of Gilmore Girls. Anyway, continue.
I didn't watch Gilmore Girls. Do they eat a lot, or they're just too thin?
Yeah. Both. Yeah.
So that was good. And then I started watching a great British baking show or Bake Off or whatever. And it's fun. I like it. I see why.
Did you start it from season one?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that's where the two comics hosted, the two women comics. Mel
and Sue. They female comics? I mean, I know they're women, and I didn't know if they were stand-ups though.
Yes, they're stand-ups. And they have a show that I cannot find anywhere. I can't even. It's, you know, how on like Amazon, they're like stream Eggcorn and you can watch these weird British shows. Those two women are currently starring in a hitman show.
How come comics get to do fun shit in Britain? We're
they
only
get
allowed
to
do sets on late night shows. They get to have their own fucking series and be spies. They know how to treat their stand-ups in Britain.
No shit. I want us to have a spy show. Why don't
me
we
too.
Have? Do you want to do my, I've always wanted to do this with anyone where it would be me and another woman comic. Sometimes it was Wanda Sykes. Sometimes it was Maria. Sometimes a long time ago, initially, I think it was Queen Latifah. Anyway, and she's not a comic.
No, she's not.
But it was going to be a buddy movie where we both worked at Target, and then it was closing time, and then terrorists burst in, like they drive through the front doors,
yeah,
and take the skeleton staff, they take them hostage, and you and I are restocking, and we take back Target using like Home Alone tactics, where I'm like. And at one point, there's a Nerf gun where that I cock and I get to say, hard target. Anyway,
Can we
get this
it?
Made immediately?
Can we?
Without, and there's a love interest. You can be the hot chick, Lori, and your love interest is the pharmacist.
Okay. Ooh. Now,
My only tweak is that we let the terrorists take Target.
We got to blow up the Target at the end either way.
No, Target goes up in flames.
Target gets blown up, but here's what else happens: is our red shirts just get ripped up more and more.
Oh yeah,
there's more and more cleavage.
One thing that you and I have is cleavage. We have massive amounts of cleavage between the two of us. That would be an incredible, just a cleavage film right off the bat.
We could call it cleavage, or we could call
it cleavage hostage. Hostage cleavage. If you have those two words in the title, I think we're guaranteed an audience on our opening weekend.
Well, you want to call it motorboating?
Guys, maximum cleavage has got to be the title.
Maximum cleavage. There we go. Yeah. Yeah.
Kyle just nailed it. Well played. How great would it be if we were at an hour? But we're not. Anyway.
7 minutes.
Okay.
We did our closer too early. We just had to stretch.
Just they got to
drop checks in the back.
And then you know what happens? Everybody looks at, in Los Angeles anyway, they start looking at their set list. What? My quick impression.
No, then I go to old closers I haven't done in a while and Ooh. Hope. I hope I remember how it ends as I'm saying it.
That's always the worst is when you're in the middle of the bit and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah. But it's
in your mind. Yeah.
But you step back and you watch your mouth take over and you're like, this is interesting. It's a separate organ right now. And
right, it's all muscle memory.
Yeah. It knows the words. And then somehow your mouth is connected to your body and you do a physical thing and you're like, oh shit. Yeah. I mean, it's an exciting roller coaster ride when your body starts doing the bit, right? Yes. And your brain has no idea.
It literally feels like a roller coaster. It feels like click, 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 and then boom, and you go down. And then that's another weird metaphor.
Hi. It is.
Anyway, so we're in 2021.
So I listened to Seinfeld on Tim Ferriss. And do you listen to Tim Ferriss? I used to listen to him a lot, and then I realized a lot of his advice is for single white men.
Is he a single white man?
Yes. And I appreciate the hard work ethic and the be logical and be productive and, you know, looking for new technology to maximize yourself. Like that's a very American sort of.
But it's like one desire. Step away from inventing negging. So fuck
it. But it's also very close to like Seinfeld was saying, you don't need depression, just put on some running shoes, or you don't need meds, you just start working out. It's like,
oh, grandpa.
Well, you know, and so, but that's the logical extension of that kind of thinking of you can cure anything about yourself and you are a project that just needs to be worked on and then you can be better and better, et cetera. So I kind of, and then also he hawked the shit out of this stuff called mushroom coffee, which tastes bad. And he acts like it's good. I'm like, all right, if this is a lie, what else is a lie? Okay. So then I stepped away, but then he had Seinfeld on. And I do think Seinfeld's work ethic is famous and it works for him. And I mean, I still admire it, even though I'm not a comic the way he is. And I don't approach comedy exactly like he does, you know? So there was some interesting
You're
stuff.
Better. I'm not even going to fucking lie to you.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep talking. Go ahead. Well, no, there's no way to answer that. Don't worry about it. Keep talking.
Yeah. So the way he was talking about how stand-up is separate from every other part of the entertainment industry in how difficult it is and how, what an insane lifestyle it is and how it's really hard on people. And he was just saying, like, he's 66, he's flying on corporate jets, right? Or probably he owns the jet.
He has a private jet because Tom Papi used to open for him.
Yeah. But he just saying how there are, it's really physically difficult once you're in your 50s and 60s and on to always be getting on a plane and performing for people. Like it does take a toll more than it did when you're like in your 20s and 30s, and how
dehydration wise.
Yeah. And how so many comics drop off. I mean, you drop off because you're not getting work, but you also drop off because it's like grueling. And so you do have to take extra measures to keep yourself healthy enough to live that lifestyle. I think that's how he was getting into it with the Bonnie McFarlane had tweeted, it was like something sarcastic because there was a headline saying, Seinfeld, I can fix anyone's life with weightlifting and meditation or something like that, which, you know, wasn't exactly what he said, but, you know, it, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's yay, so we're funny. Still in show business. Yay for
right.
us.
Right. It's, I will say, I waited off in the middle of that a little bit just because it was a lot of advice from a rarefied air, you know, I mean, it's a rarefied place to kind of take advice from, but mm-hmm. then I weeded off into this, you know, what the biggest thing that I've realized in the last 9 months is, that I've taken vitamins every day for the last 9 months and I have run through some bottles of vitamins
and
that it feels like to some extent. Some days my only accomplishment where I'm just like,
that you took a vitamin
that I'm just like, so how many bottles of weird joint ease and calcium tablets and some B12, which are the only thing I'm taking that sort of help your cartilage so that your bones don't all disintegrate and then calcium and then B12, and feel free not to tell me what vitamins I should also be taking. Listening. I don't care. These are enough anyway. and I know like all of the olds that I know have those weak things.
I do for my blood thinners. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I forget. Yeah.
Cause otherwise you'll forget. And it feels like there's part of me that's like, that's a sign of being an old. And then I thought, I don't want to forget. And I would forget even because the reason I never took vitamins before was because I was never anywhere the same day. Like I might take them 3 days a week and then I'm on the road and I'm like, oh, I forgot to.
And then the time change, if you're on the East Coast and the West Coast, you're like, is this Sunday or is this Saturday now? It's not
right. Just time change is weird. And and you forget to bring them. And it's also interesting though, because I feel like I was trying to think about the things to be grateful for, you know, for this year. And there are things to be grateful for, but I don't want, like Andy made bread yesterday and he made so much bread.
You posted it and it looked so delicious.
I was thinking about giving it to Rontowski because she brought us over that bread, but I don't know if she's doing sugar because it has a little bit of honey in it. It has some sugar because it's called kata and it's an Armenian kind of sweet bread. And Andy did an amazing job on this thing. And I brought over a loaf to our Armenian neighbors who then the mom brought over. And when I say the mom, she's my age. The mom brought over a bag of Armenian candies and none of them were wearing any masks.
Oh,
and they had just had like 7 people show up for some sort of New Year's Day party.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to say that everyone should buy tickets for the Flapper show tonight.
It's going to be a banger.
Go into the link description and I'll have it for you if you're listening to this same day.
Yeah. Come see our show tonight, guys.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.